Blog Talk Radio.
We should probably do the show.
No, what is this? Oh no, turn it off. I tried to turn it off. It's not turning off. What did you do? I won't turn off. Oh God.
What?
I have to hear that enough.
What did we almost listen to?
Where do you hear it at? The gym?
Yeah, usually.
Does it play at the gym?
That's what usually when I put my headphones on and put Rob Zombie on.
My GarageBand won't work today. My computer's acting super slow. This is great.
You look at the
high that? Quality.
See this nice leather jacket I got for my birthday?
I like it.
Last year?
Yeah, you told me yesterday.
Yeah.
You already got schmutz all over it.
Well, it's from the salty car.
From the... You leaned up against it?
Salty.
I must have.
The
oh,
salt
yeah,
just gets on everything.
Side and back.
How much salt are you cleaning off of your pant cuffs, your coattails?
I don't...
Shit gets everywhere.
I just really don't bother. Because, you know what? I clean it off, and then I get in or out of the car again, and it's back to, you know...
Yeah.
Send to Apple. You can help Apple improve its product and user support by...
Hey, welcome to the...
Matthew Aaron
thing,
show.
There you go.
Yeah, hey.
The thing we're doing.
What's up, guys?
I'm reading my computer right now. I'm more interested in other things.
Put that cookie down!
Until we
now!
Until we have Dayton Callie on, which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, he's great. www.thematthewaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter. You can go to Facebook, type in The Matthew Aaron Show into the search bar, click whatever it is, search or whatever, and you click like on that, and you're good. Stitcher, we're on the Stitcher. What else are we doing? What else do we got going on? Do we got other things that we're on?
iTunes, you said that?
Oh, no, I didn't say that.
Okay.
iTunes, okay.
At Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, you said that. I think you did.
I did say that. We are on iTunes. You can subscribe to us there, and you can get everything.
This is Lee Capreas. Hello.
Lee Capreas. Hello,
Capreas, Twitter. Thank you.
A lot of people joining us today, actually.
A couple special guests.
Mikey Terzo.
Yeah, Mikey Terzo's here.
Yeah. Cool.
We're going to talk about last night, I guess, a little, because we had a blast.
Yeah, it was great.
Kind of unexpected. One of those things where I go out at 9 p.m. again and just bullshit happens.
What happened?
The guys wanted to go out. Bruce Fretz is in town. And the guys wanted to go out with him. And I was running really late yesterday.
Is he coming here?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, awesome.
And I was running really late. And so they met up with Bruce at like, you and Lenny met up at like 7:38.
Over at the Hotel Saxon, the Crimson Lounge, which, by the way, is actually a really nice lounge. There's just nobody was there.
Oh, I've heard. I've heard the lounge at Hotel Saxon is really nice.
Oh, dude, the furniture alone had to be $50,000.
There's Charles.
Charles!
And Bruce Fretz. Oh, what a good day this is.
Charles came with Bruce.
Bruce Fretz is in studio.
They split the toll booth on the way down.
Did you split the tolls?
So, Bruce, did Ma attack you when you came in?
Oh, Ma loves Bruce.
Oh, she was very well-behaved. No, she was very
She was well-behaved?
She was.
Was everyone else well-behaved? What did you do? Give Chuck the mic for a second, because I want to talk about how ghetto our show is. So, explain to our audience, Chuck, our ghetto Uber service to get Bruce to the show.
So, I picked Bruce up. We walked two blocks to the Orange Line, got on a very crowded
Orange
Line.
So we made our special guest walk to the L,
yes.
Take public transportation.
Yes, to Midway Airport. We had to wait 5 minutes for the bus. We got on the very ghetto 63W. It was one of those first times that I looked around at the bus and I'm like, well, I'm only the only white people on this bus.
Oh, you were the only white people?
Well,
that's
one of.
Good.
There were a couple ghetto white hood rats on the bus.
Gentrified. Okay, yeah. Good. And then
We walked to the house so I could let the dog out.
So you brought Bruce to your home to feed your dogs and let out the dogs.
And then we drove here.
You're getting the full Chicago experience.
Yeah.
You went to the south side, the L. You took the bus?
You didn't get robbed?
I didn't. That's true.
Not yet? There's still 24 hours left for that to happen.
It was an adventure. It took us like an hour and 45 minutes.
You really are getting like the whole Chicago thing, though.
Yeah.
Because we took you out last night. Oh, we took you to a nice bar that was in an alley.
Yeah. That was three dots and a dash.
Yeah.
Three dots and a dash, which we like a lot.
It was great.
It's a fruity drink bar. It's a tiki bar.
You know what? You know what's nice about the drinks there, though? You can actually drink them. They're not like sugar syrup.
Yeah, no, it's tiki. And right.
There are shots we got at the end. What was that?
That was Luisi ordering.
You know what
some
I think
bullshit.
That was? I think that was just like sour mix.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That's well, it. You guys were saying how sour it was, so I would imagine it was sour mix. What else do you think it could be?
Sour mix and a little bit of pineapple juice, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
It was that was their three dots and a dash is get the fuck out shot.
That was just the beginning of the night, though.
Yeah.
That was only our first
That's
time.
Right. Yeah, that's right. And then we went to Richard's, which I think we're going back to after the show. I shouldn't say that in case we have any creepy stalkers out there. But I'm well aware about Bruce's stalker. Bruce has a few creepy stalkers here and there. And we went to Richard's. And we had a blast.
Yeah, Richard's. Bruce, what did you think about Richard's?
I thought it was the best bar I've ever been to.
There you go. There you go.
Come on. Two hard-boiled eggs.
And they have homemade beef jerky.
And you got some Broad's phone number. It all worked out.
I did.
Yeah. Wait. Was that the broad with the
backpack.
The luggage, as she called it?
The luggage, right. Where was she going?
She was meeting a male friend.
Mm-hmm.
So that didn't go
anywhere. Male friend. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You should have asked her what part of town.
They're all meeting male friends. Yeah. Do women have, like, female friends anymore?
Ones that they actually like or ones that they just pretend to like?
Oh, no. We know they pretend to like them. But in the city, they really don't have female friends.
You know, I've realized that women in the city are a little different than women everywhere else.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Way different.
Yeah. They have
even the suburbs, the chicks are way better.
Oh, way better. The women in the city, there's a big capital C in front of most of their names.
Mm-hmm. 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 Charles.
Catherine.
Yeah, Kat, yeah. Charles, what else did we do? Oh, we went to Minghin.
Oh, yeah, I missed
then,
that.
We had dim sum at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
1:30 a.m. dim sum at Minghin. What did we have? We had 33 items.
Dishes for five
what
people.
Didn't we have?
Yeah, we had 33 items, and the bill was only $1.20, $1.12.
$112.
Yeah, $112.
That's not bad at all.
For 33 items?
I know.
Please.
What do you think about Chicago's Chinatown?
I didn't really
didn't see much of it.
Oh, you just made it to the mall. Yeah,
he made that classy strip mall with the Minghin and the next
door
to Lao Shan.
Yeah, but he didn't see the strip with the art.
No, we didn't take him by because he's staying at a hotel in the city in the loop. So
right.
Drive back that way.
Food was great.
Yeah, food was outstanding. Minghin's great.
That bone dish we started out with, I don't know what that was.
The pork belly.
Pork belly. What was
the bone's thing? Just to like season it and stuff. You don't really eat the bone.
Yeah,
I mean, you can eat the bone. It just tastes like potato.
Yeah.
But the pork itself is really good.
The pork was great. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just more they leave the bone in. Mikey probably.
Yeah. There's flavor in the bone marrow, so they kind of leave
for
it
the soup.
Yeah. For the broth.
Yeah. So then, what else did we have there? We had Chuck. What did we have at Minghin?
Some sort of pancake ball.
Oh, how good was that? The deep fried pork ball.
Yeah,
did you like that?
That was really good.
Yeah,
balls,
that's right.
Balls.
One of
that's
the dogs
right.
came down.
Marley, what are you doing? You're not on the show. Here, I'll take care of her. Mikey, you yap.
That's actually Luisi.
Oh, is that who that
barking?
Is?
He makes more sense than he usually does.
Yeah, right. He's funny. Where are you staying at, Bruce? What hotel?
I don't know if I should say that because of the creepy stalkers out there.
Yeah,
but...
no.
I
forgot.
But it's a nice place.
Red Roof nice Inn, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if anybody would have guessed, he's at the Waldorf Astoria.
I'm here to, aside from to visit you gentlemen, I was on the set of this NBC show Crisis that's coming up in March with Gillian Anderson and Dermot Mulroney, who I think is a friend of Matt's from...
Yeah.
Dine and Dash, and I had a good couple days on the set interviewing them and hanging out, and I'm flying back tomorrow. So,
how great is Gillian Anderson?
She is great. She is real. She looks better every year. I got to tell you, she looks fantastic, and she's really good on the show.
Do you need a minute, Mikey?
No, I'm good. I'm good. That only happens when we talk about certain women and food,
mostly food.
When's the show start, do we know?
Starting Sunday, March 16th. It's going to be on Sundays at 10 on NBC. And, you know, it could go either way. It's like, it could be like The Blacklist. In some ways, it has some similarities to The Blacklist. In other ways, it has a lot of similarities to the show Hostages that totally tanked on CBS.
Yeah.
So, which had, you know, Dylan McDermott as opposed to Dermot Mulroney. So
I always get those two confused.
Yeah.
So we're going to be having Dayton Callie on pretty soon. Have you been following Sons of Anarchy this season? What do you think about this current season?
I have been following it. Yeah, I like this season. I mean,
of course,
I was shocked by the ending. You know, I thought that I did not see that coming. The fork to the back of the head. No, spoiler alert. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've had my ups and downs with Sons of Anarchy over the years. I've, you know, gone hot and cold on it, but these days I'm feeling pretty warm.
I wanted to say, maybe we'll save it for Dayton. We'll tell the Kurt Suter story.
All right, we'll
with
do that.
Dayton.
Yeah.
So did Pat get back to you when Ron Perlman's coming on?
Oh, yeah. You know, I've been – all right, this is kind of out of school, but I'll tell you a Ron Perlman story. So I've met Ron, really nice guy, like sweetest dude you'll ever meet. Been trying to get him on the show forever. He's not opposed to it. Really, really nice dude. The problem I'm hearing through a friend of mine, we have a mutual friend who's very good friends with Ron. The problem I'm hearing is Ron spends a lot of time with his wife. You can take that any way you want. I think maybe he's a little when he's not working.
Really?
I think he's a family man who doesn't have a lot of time.
No, I don't think that's, you know.
And he's doing like 5 movies a year. He takes basically every role he can. Yeah, I mean, he likes working.
He's producing movies now, too.
Is he?
Yeah, because I talked to him at this SAG Foundation event a few months ago.
He's really nice, isn't he?
He's very nice, yeah, yeah.
He's a cool dude, too.
Yeah, he was actually on the phone from a golf course, and he had a few.
Yeah.
And, but he was telling me he's producing like 5 movies. He's writing a memoir. I mean, He's
a busy.
Busy.
He likes working.
He likes working,
and then he spends the rest of the time with his family.
Yeah.
And I can't hate on that. In Hollywood, there's not a lot of people that actually like spending time with their families.
No,
so.
No, that's actually kind of refreshing, to be honest.
Yeah. He's a really good dude. Like, just a sweet guy. A normal dude. Like, Hawaiian shirt wearing, cigar smoking, normal guy.
How tall is he?
Tall.
He's big.
Yeah.
He's a big guy, yeah.
Yeah, he's tall. He's like 6'3", probably, 6'4". Yeah,
so he's got...
But he's wide, you know, he's built. Like, he's not wide, fat, like, he's jacked.
Yeah,
Ron's jacked, so...
Yeah,
right. Did you see him in, what's the movie he did, Pacific Rim? Did you like that?
I didn't see it, actually.
You never saw Pacific Rim?
Pacific Rim, no. Yeah, Family Robot.
What was...
Better than the superhero movies.
I'm not into the superhero movies anymore either.
Bruce and I talked about it last night. We're done with superhero movies.
Did you? All right, let me. The Batman trilogy recently.
I did like those.
Did you like the last one?
I had a lot.
The second one.
No.
It had its moments.
Yeah.
It had its moments.
I got to ask you this, and this is on my conversation. This is going to be my one geeky. Oh my God, Bruce here's question type of deal. I always felt that the last Batman, the Dark Knight Rises, it could have been 2 movies. Like they, it feel
it
like
should have been 2. You're right.
Yeah, okay, because they rushed. Like maybe the first movie ends when you know him and Bane fight, and and then the next one starts, and he's in the prison or whatever.
Especially because they've been doing that with like the last Harry Potter, with the last Twilight. I mean, that's a thing now. Is you split the last one into 2?
Right.
Like, why didn't they do that?
I don't know, but I think 2 1.5-hour, 1 hour and 45-minute movies. I think would have been great.
Oh. Chris Nolan doesn't make 1.5-hour movie.
You know what? I feel like Chris Nolan I just want to be done with this. Let's just fucking put it together and just put it out there.
I think he did want
to
be done with it.
I don't know.
No, I think him and Bale did want to be done with it. I think they got a little tired of it after the second one. Yeah.
Your feelings on Pittsburgh as a backdrop versus Chicago. I mean, the reason I imagine you is because you're not from Chicago, so you know.
I guess the better question is, did you notice?
It didn't make that much difference to me. I love Pittsburgh and I love Chicago too. So you know,
okay.
To me, it was.
What do you love about Pittsburgh?
It's not Philly.
I just went to Pittsburgh actually. I just went to visit the set of this A&E show, Those Who Kill, with Chloe Sevigny there, and I had a great time.
That's Carnahan's show.
Yeah.
And about 9 other executive producers.
Yeah.
I never seen so many producers on a TV show.
They're definitely, I mean, I've only seen the first episode, and there's going to be a battle on that show about whether it's going to be a procedural or whether it's going to be a serialized show.
Yeah, I've heard. Not from Joe. I've just heard, period.
Yeah, and I hope that they win the battle, the creative battle, because Glenn Morgan, who runs the show, the X-Files guy, really wants it to be, dark and weird and twisted and all about the character's psyche.
Yeah.
And I think...
Well, it's a remake, isn't it?
It's a remake of a Danish show.
Danish.
But I think there's also a lot of people, you know, on the production side who want it to be like Criminal Minds.
And you
guys
talk about Crisis... You talked about Crisis.
Yeah.
Was that fun on the set?
It was, but it's the same thing. It's like, you know, it's a serialized show, and, you know, the thing about The Blacklist is that it's serialized, but there's also a closed-ended case every week.
Right.
The name on the
Blacklist. So it's like Crisis is the same way, though, right?
Not so much. Crisis doesn't really have the same, case of the week format in addition to the serialized. It's like one long story. So you either buy into it at the beginning and go for the whole ride, or like Hostages, you don't, and then it just...
Did you see our guy Dermot?
I did. I talked to Dermot.
How's Dermot doing?
He was good.
Chill.
He was. He's very bullish, actually, on the show. He was.
Where do you interview him when you go to these sets and do it? Where do you interview Dermot Mulroney?
Today, I interviewed Dermot just in a director's chair, like by the video stand.
Was it cold?
It was cold. People were wearing parkas inside.
Yeah.
Well, they're from California.
Most of the crew is from here, but it was cold.
Really?
Yeah, because they had heaters in, but they had
heaters
off.
That's true. But you're outside for like 12 hours, maybe. So,
I talked to Jillian and Dermot in the director's chairs, and then this Australian actress, Rachel Taylor, who was on the Charlie's Angels remake. Yes. I interviewed her in her trailer, which was nice.
Oh, that's nice.
She was really smart. She was really articulate, surprised me, really smart, because she's,
Or it's a really good publicist, trained her well.
No, she was clearly speaking extemporaneously, because she was speaking out of school a couple of times.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And
did the publicist tell you there's stuff that you can't print?
Yeah, I mean, we sort of have an understanding.
It happens
of what,
all the time,
can
though.
And can't. More just in terms of plot twists,
Publicists hate me.
Yeah?
Yeah. They the big thing with publicists is, I don't know how it is in the print world, so that's why I'm comparing the two. With the show, they want to tape interviews. Yeah. Like, when we get live guests, I'm like lucky as hell, because they rather not. They rather it be taped and overhear everything on the phone or in person, so they could be like,
Cut
that. And, it's kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
But then we started getting everyone live, which was cool, because the publicists would show up. There were a few times at the restaurant where they would, look at me and be like, shake their head, no, and I'd still ask anyways.
Right.
When did I get in trouble with a publicist? Oh, when we did Despicable Me 2, I asked about Al Pacino leaving.
Oh, yeah.
And this was like a week or two before it came out, and the publicist flipped.
Who were you talking to?
I was talking to Ken Dario. And the writers of the film.
Yeah.
And the publicist flipped.
Yeah.
They did not want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the writers were kind of like, can't talk about it. Yeah. I still don't know what happened with that. I just heard the two rumors I heard was Pacino didn't like it when he saw it. And then the other rumor I heard was they didn't like Pacino's performance.
And Pacino liked Jack and Jill?
Right, so that's why I'm believing a little more that Universal was like, Al's really bad.
But Al's just Al. I mean, what do you expect when you...
Is he a
Al?
Voice actor, though? That's probably what it comes down to.
Well, he does have ever since The Godfather, I don't know what happened to his voice, if he ate something wrong, but he definitely has a pretty distinct voice
I'm
now.
I'm just wondering if Al misses out on any of that money from that $2 billion that movie made or whatever.
I mean, I would think he probably would have had a small piece of it if he was going to be the villain in the movie, but...
They recorded his voice. Yeah. He was done. They did all his stuff. He was in the first trailer. Al Pacino in the first trailer. And the name, everything. They were promoting Al Pacino. All of a sudden, a week after the trailer comes out, he goes mysteriously. He left the project in post, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And then they bring on Ben Bratt, literally a day later.
Yeah. Wait. This is Despicable Me 2.
He was gonna be the bad guy. He's who Benjamin Bratt ends up playing.
How does that happen?
And then Benjamin Bratt was great.
He was.
He's great in it, but it's Al Pacino. You go Al Pacino, Ben Bratt. Yeah.
Kind of a apples and oranges situation there.
Do you think they spent so much money on Pacino, though, that they kind of had to go to a lower pay scale to get a guy like Brad?
Or maybe they just realized that, people are going to see the movie anyway.
I've been saying this for years. They're animated movies. They're animated movies.
The voices doesn't mean who it is.
What was that terrible movie this year with Christoph Waltz and Beyonce and all those people, that animated movie that came out? Oh, it's really bad. Okay, I don't even remember what it was, okay? It literally has, 20 stars in it. They probably paid for those stars alone $40-50 million. Kids are going to go see cartoon crap regardless of who's in it. You think my nephew knows who the fuck Albert Brooks is? He's going to go see Finding Nemo because Albert Brooks is in the fucking movie, or Ellen DeGeneres?
This doesn't have the nuance of Despicable Me, the first one.
No one cares.
I won't do it. It's no good.
But it's true. No one cares. I love when they do the posters, too. And they're, starring Steve Carell and Al Pacino. I mean, I'm like, what kid knows any of those people?
All you have to look at is Frozen.
Yeah.
Frozen is making...
Great. Kristen Bell, who you don't even know is in the movie because they never promoted her, really, as being a star.
Idina Menzel.
She's the only
Josh
name in
Gad,
it.
They're all Broadway people.
Yeah, Josh Gad. Yeah,
and
it's all Broadway.
$500 million.
And that is what... And Disney has always been good at that. And then Disney kind of shied away from it for a while. I don't know why.
I will say this, though. I just got to throw this in here. I think Robin Williams as a genie in Aladdin was fantastic.
No, there's times where it's like a great idea. But you don't have to pack your movie with stars.
Well, that's the DreamWorks way.
Yeah.
More than the Disney way. Yeah.
Look at Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Beauty and the Beast. It was all Broadway people.
Right, right.
Pixar, though, loves the stars.
They do. They tend to, yeah.
I never got that, though, about Pixar. I never understood that. They love the
stars.
Although,
you know, they made some bold choices early on. I mean, you got Bugs Life.
No, I'm talking Wall-E and stuff like that.
Ed Asner. And they get people who are right for the part.
Of the time.
They might be stars. Yeah,
most of the time.
What do you think about Tom Hanks?
I would argue with you with Cars and Cars 2.
Cars was egregious, but using Craig T. Nelson for Incredibles and choices like that, I like
sure.
that.
Sure.
What about Toy Story?
Yeah, Toy Story. Well, they started off that way with Tom Hanks. And
that's how
I
they started.
I think they needed, though, because of it was like a brand new studio concept to do these CGI movies. I think they needed at that point in time to have big stars to launch it,
right.
to market it, to give it that feel. After that, though, I don't think so. Like Wall-E's a perfect example, and Up, yeah, right. But they do like the stars at Pixar now too. They're doing a lot of movies.
Well, Disney owns them now, so
right. And same with then Disney just did Frozen, which had nobody.
Yeah.
And then Universal's doing all these. Animated now. They did Despicable Me.
They're moneymakers. I mean, they are.
But I hate DreamWorks animation. I think they're terrible.
No, I don't
think
they're
terrible.
As good as...
I think their movies suck.
Yeah.
I think Katzenberg sends all their jobs over to China.
What were the DreamWorks movies?
The first Shrek was great.
They do Madagascar. They do...
did they do The Croods? Was that them?
I think
they did,
yes.
Which is awful. Terrible.
Ice Age...
Ice Age
was pretty big.
No, Ice Age was Fox. Ice Age was Fox.
Was it? Yeah. What about Rango? I like that was one non-Pixar one
Rango's
that I liked.
Dream. Yeah, wait, which
Nickelodeon.
Rio's DreamWorks. Rio. Yeah, Rango's Nickelodeon. Right. Yeah.
You know, are they ever going to come out with a traditional cartoon movie again?
They did a few years ago. It was the Princess and the Frog, or what was the name of that movie?
Yeah, that's what it was.
And that was really refreshing. And that wasn't a great, but it was like I was glad to see. Drawings.
Yeah.
Because the only animated movies that get released are foreign releases.
So I'll tell you something. I really enjoyed Frozen. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I thought it was the best thing Disney's done in a long... I know people love Tangled. I think it's overrated.
Tangled?
Frozen's way better.
Much better, yeah.
Yeah, way better. I think Frozen was... The best things about 1990s Disney in one movie.
Well, because, I mean, The Lion King, Atlantis, I mean, those were...
I would say it's just as good as...
Even Mulan
wasn't
bad.
Little Mermaid and Aladdin, it's up there with that. I don't know about Lion King, but it's up there. Yeah, it's up there.
I'll have to go see that.
Did you see, speaking of movies with music, did you see that Oscar... They rescinded the song from that Christian movie?
Oh, no, I didn't hear that.
Today they rescinded it.
Why?
They said they broke rules getting votes for the movie.
Oh, because the guy was like on the board of composers.
Yeah,
or something like that.
I gotta tell you, the Oscars are so corrupt, though. It's just, but I kind of give them credit for coming out and saying they fucked up and taking it off, but they're so corrupt. Who cares?
So did they add a new nomination to replace it?
I don't know if they're gonna replace it. They may just have four now.
Yeah,
I don't think they can replace it at this point in time. Can they just with the runner up? Whoever
they
came
could.
In sick?
Yeah, because there were a couple songs like Taylor Swift had a song, and
Celine Dion.
Yeah,
you know, for whatever reason. Those songs don't get nominated anymore for anything. When big stars don't get nominated for songs anymore,
they're
Bono.
U2's in there.
Unless they're Bono.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bono gets nominated for anything, even though that Spider-Man Broadway thing sucked. I hear that's like the biggest bomb in like Broadway history. Was it that bad?
I didn't see it, but it ran for 2 years and still lost tons of money. So.
And wasn't it directed by Julie Taymor?
Originally, although she was replaced.
She gets replaced on a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And I think Bono and the Edge distanced themselves before it ever opened. You know, they ran away from that as fast as they could.
Is she notoriously really difficult to work with, Julie Taymor?
Because
she has a very high standard for her productions.
That's why, yeah. She's very controlling.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm not saying that's good or bad. It probably is good because if you see a lot of her work, she's outstanding.
Well, yeah. Well,
The Lion King wouldn't be what it is on Broadway without her.
Well, there's a documentary about her making of a staging of The Tempest that was a big production. Very interesting to see how she works, but it didn't look
a
like she
a lot of her
crazy...
productions start and don't end up getting finished.
Huh.
Don't know why. Sometimes it's money, and because she also has a reputation for going over budget.
Yeah.
She has that Marty Scorsese reputation.
She should make a movie with Terry Gilliam.
She does She does like bigger projects like Marty, and with studio funding, and then they usually go over budget. I wonder how much Wolf of Wall Street went over budget. It had to have. I don't think he's ever made a movie that was came in on budget. He just doesn't care about other people's money at all. He doesn't care about his money, I don't think.
No, because his wife does, though.
Yeah, his wife does, right. But I don't think Marty even cares about his money.
You know, why isn't there not more three-hour movies?
Why isn't there?
Yeah.
Because it takes up so much room at the theater that they can't play another movie and make more money.
Well, no, people...
It's basically the reason. Listen, yeah, Wolf of Wall Street made over $100 million, and so you're like, where's all the epic movies? Well, some distributors are thinking, man, but if Wolf of Wall Street was just an hour and a half, I could have played it twice. It could have made $200 million.
Right.
Yeah, but here's my only thing, though. If you tell me the last great best movie of the generation or, like, top 100 best movie in the last century that was an hour and a half long.
Some of the best hour and a half movies.
No, not best hour and a half. Best movies that were an hour and a half long.
Yeah, that's
going back how far?
20 years, 30, whatever. And Bruce, by all means, grab the mic if you have an answer.
American Beauty is about 95 minutes, and a lot of people turned on that over the years. I still think it's good.
American Beauty.
I don't think it's one of the best, though, of the last 20 years.
It's not one of the best.
With Kevin Spacey?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was only an hour and a half.
It was over an hour and a half, but it was not a two-hour movie. No.
Do you really consider that one of the best of the last 20 years?
That was an answer that came to the top of my head.
Artist was about an hour and a half.
Did you like The Artist that
much?
I liked
The Artist. I mean, I'm not saying it's one of the best movies of the last 20 years, but it won Best Picture. It was a 90-minute film.
I don't know if I could forgive it for pilfering the Bernard Herrmann music from Vertigo. I don't know. People really have a problem with three-hour running times, and they can't, and they just gripe about having to watch this stuff, and yet they go home and watch 4, 5, 6 episodes, half a season of an hour-long show. They watch a whole season in 2 days. So isn't that ridiculous?
I think it's because the plots change and things change all the time, and they have, you know, you're invested in seeing all these characters. I think when one movie's about the same thing for 2.5 hours, there's a portion of society that can't take it.
Yeah, I think they should. I don't necessarily want to see a 90-minute movie, but I don't want to see a three-hour movie in the theater all the time.
I'll give you a great example. I will never see a movie like Dark Knight Rises. I would have never saw it twice. And I was getting bored coming 2 hours into it.
Oh, yeah.
Ray Donovan, I just watched 6 episodes the last 2 days.
Great, huh?
The difference is, Ray Donovan, I want to know what's going to happen to Liev Schreiber's character, obviously, but I want to know what's going to happen to all the characters, and some episodes I can only concentrate on Liev and Ezra, played by Elliot Gould, and certain. So then I got to go to another episode, and the next episode they usually mix it up, so you're getting, like, different stuff all the time.
Have you gotten to James Woods yet?
Just
the first scenes? America's Funniest Home Video scenes?
Which, this is how much of a dork I am. The first thing you think of when you've been in the business long enough, when you see that scene is... Oh, they couldn't afford a Bob Saget clip, so they just went with the theme song. The theme song was cheaper. That was like the first thing that went in my head, thinking about the budget. I'm like, just enjoy this. It's James Woods watching America's Funniest Home Videos and laughing like a maniacal nutjob.
But the other thing when you watch shows like that as opposed to watching a movie, like I've done that where you put in a disc and you watch an episode and you're left with the cliffhanger and you're like, holy crap, I don't care, I'm watching the next episode. So they get you with those cliffhangers where you're like, and all of a sudden you're like, holy crap, I just watched 5 episodes.
I watched the whole, 8 episodes of Breaking Bad for the second half of the season?
It was eight.
I watched all 8.
Plus, when you're at home, you can pause them to pee and stuff like that. You can't do it in the theater.
Pee pausing's really important.
But I think Dark Knight Rises, is a bad example, because we already talked about how, like, Wolf of Wall Street, like me and Bruce saw last night.
That's another thing. I loved Wolf of Wall Street. I won't go see it again.
But
I saw it again.
I won't go see it in theaters again.
I saw it again because I went to see Her, and I was so bored that I went.
Her looks multiple. Terrible.
You hated Her that much.
God, I hated Her.
Joaquin Phoenix.
It's so creepy. It's so boring.
Can't disagree more.
He's come a long way since Gladiator.
Really?
Not disagree more.
About Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, I liked Wolf of Wall Street. It's a 3.5-star.
And movie. I love The Dark Knight Rises. I saw it twice in the theater.
But you're a
I'm a comic book nerd. Yeah.
That's what I meant. Nerd. I didn't mean.
I disagree.
What?
Oh, you don't even want to hear this.
How do you disagree?
If he talks about Man, if you get him to talk about Man of Steel, I may hit you with this microphone.
Oh. I won't talk about Man of Steel.
Oh. By the way, would you like? But while you're in town, would you like to go to Plano? Because when you drive into town, it says, "Welcome to Plano, Illinois, the home of where they filmed Man of Steel."
Oh my God! That's the thing they're most proud of. So much.
Chuck, how much did you like Man of Steel? Is it the best film of the year?
No.
Oh.
But I loved Man of Steel. I've seen it like 5 times already.
Really?
I grew up watching Superman. I've always loved Superman.
That is 10.5 hours you'll never get back.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll probably watch it 10 more times.
Pro scenes?
You know, yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, it's awful.
Let me just say this.
You've never defended, though, why it's good.
Here's what I will say. I have
never
For good reason.
People who like Superman like him so much that they don't care how bad the movie is.
That's not true. I hated Superman Returns. I hated it. I refused
to see Superman Returns.
Twice.
Once in the theater.
I hated it so much.
Well, I saw it once in the theater, and I hated it.
It's better than Superman 3.
And I watched Superman Returns like years later. I was like, maybe it's not as bad as I remembered. And I watched it again like 4 or 5 years later, and I'm like, oh, no, it's freaking awful.
Oh, it's bad.
Yeah, but I thought Man of Steel was a great movie.
Well,
why? Why? Give us a why.
The one thing I can say, it's very true on that.
It's Michael Shannon's worst performance, and he's good in it. He's good in it, but it's his worst performance.
I got to say that I'm lucky in one fact, that being a Batman guy, if we wanted the Batman Superman thing, and I'd love to get Bruce's opinion on this, but I'd say The Dark Knight, I think, is probably close to being the best superhero movie ever.
Of course. It's way better than Superman.
And I'll honestly say I like all of the Batmans equally. I think Batman Begins is one of the best.
Wait a second.
Origin.
Batman movies?
The three.
Oh, the three.
Not
George Clooney.
No.
Wait,
no,
but
no,
you
no,
thought
no,
Begins
no.
was as good as Dark Knight?
I like all three of them equally.
What?
I really like all three of them. Batman Begins gave me goosebumps. Dark Knight gave me goosebumps. Dark Knight Rises gave me goosebumps. I like all of them.
Batman Begins was good. Dark Knight was great.
Dark Knight Rises
was back to good.
Yeah, I'm with Bruce on this. That was, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's like...
We have differences of opinion.
No, we don't. No, we don't. You need to join our club.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Superman sucked.
Okay.
Before I call Dayton Kelly, I'm going to call him in like 1 minute. Tell me why Superman was good. Tell me why Man of Steel was good.
Yes, I want to hear that.
I like the storyline. I like that they actually for once treated him as an alien instead of like all of a sudden being like, oh, he's here to do good. You know, like, how would people react if something like that happened? Like, the military would go crazy, and I thought the scene...
They didn't go crazy, though! They brushed it over in, like, one scene. He's sitting in this interrogation room, and he's in and out in, like, 2 minutes. It's not like they really were, like, hammering on the guy for being an alien.
And
like, no one tried to kill him.
I seriously forgot that Amy Adams played Lois Lane. I read that in a magazine, and I was like, wait.
I gotta tell you.
She did.
I'm Amy Adams out. I don't dislike her, but she needs to be like Anne Hathaway and take a break. She needs to take
so
a year
overrated.
Off like Anne Hathaway.
I mean, 5 Oscar nominations for that woman?
I'm Amy Adams out.
Yeah, what?
And
honestly, that was the first role I've ever seen Amy Adams in was Man of Steel.
What a waste to Lawrence Fishburne. Can you tell me the guy's name that played Superman?
Henry Cavill.
Yeah, who the fuck cares? No one knows who he is. No one knows after that
no
movie.
One knew
he's
who
so
that...
good in the movie, no one knows
no
who the
one
hell
knew
he
who
is
Christopher
still.
Reeve was. No one knew
but
who
they
Dean
did
Cavill
after
was.
No,
Superman
Christopher Reeve was
yeah.
huge after
then,
Superman.
But no one knew
Henry Cavill.
Yeah, because Christopher Reeve went on to be...
paraplegic.
Wait a minute.
Well, he went on to be a huge Broadway actor
yes.
and a very accomplished actor
yes.
in film. He did.
What? Okay, name another Christopher Reeve movie.
Somewhere in Time did great box office when it came out. He was a star after Superman. No one knows who Henry Cavill is.
It came out less than a year ago.
If a Henry Cavill movie came out tomorrow, no one would go see it. He's as interesting as Chris Pine.
Is there a good Henry Cavill movie in town?
Not only do they don't know him so much, if they did have another Henry Cavill movie and he was the main actor, they would go, hey, look, it's Superman. I mean,
that's all he's going to be known for.
Hey,
which
what
has happened to every actor
that played
Superman.
What happened to your boyfriend, Brandon Roth?
He sucked.
I shouldn't say he's your boyfriend because he's probably gay and
Chuck,
he could sue me for that.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Henry Cavill.
Henry.
All right, I'm going to call Dayton Callie. We're going to talk Sons of
Anarchy. Still a good movie.
And,
I don't care what anybody says.
And Deadwood, which Clearly. Chuck loves. Yeah, obviously you don't care that everyone is right and you're wrong.
Here's the reason you like the movie, because you're a Superman whore, and they did some storylines that were a little more true to what you knew growing up, so you got a hard on about it, when the rest of us are going, I wonder if it's a good movie, and we look at it more subjectively.
And come on, Zack Snyder's directing's awful. He's terrible.
I have... not like other not like I like everything that Superman. Did There's you, been Superman one? Stuff I didn't like.
Oh, Costner was Costner.
Costner was
I mean,
good.
He plays Costner.
And what's his face? Now, the Gladiator was good, too.
Bruce wasn't huge on Costner in Man of Steel. Costner, he man. Thought he was
I
being
actually,
typical
I could have
Kevin
seen
where he's
another
pretentious
scene or two of Kevin Costner. I wanted to see another scene.
I do
more.
Disagree with Bruce. I thought Russell Crowe was good in it.
What? I did, too.
I did like Russell Crowe in it. Yeah, I did. I thought the movie was hurting after Crowe was gone. I would have rather seen a movie about Russell Crowe's character than Superman.
When they were filming this movie, I was in downtown Naperville, and I actually there was a girl working on the movie, and they were called it like Autumn Wind or Autumn Storm or something. It was so stupid.
Oh, right, the fake name.
The fake
man,
name
yeah.
for the movie.
Yeah.
And like this girl comes in, and she tells me they're working on this movie way out west, and she gives me this fake thing, and I'm like, make a joke. I'm like, oh, it sounds like her stripper name, you know, whatever. You know, anyway, so I'm in downtown Naperville later that night. And I'm standing there, and I'm in downtown, and we're right over by the Sullivan Steakhouse, and this guy walks over.
Oh, the Russell Crowe story, yeah, yeah.
And there's this guy looking in the window of this closed restaurant, and it used to be a Rosebud. I walk over, and I go, hey, how you doing? Oh, hello, you know, and I'm looking in the window, and I'm like, you know, oh, what are you doing out here? Oh, we just had dinner, and we have, like, this small little chat. And I'm going, I go, man, you know, you look a lot like Russell Crowe. He goes, yeah, I get that once in a while. I'm like, yeah, it's funny. And he goes, and then some guy's calling. He goes, hey, I got to go. I'm like, hey, nice meeting you. Yeah, you too. And he walks away. The next morning, I'm like, hey, did you hear Russell Crowe was in downtown Naperville last night?
Let me tell you how awesome he is. Around this same time, Russell Crowe rides his bike when he came into town to get into shape. He would ride his fucking two-wheeler. He would ride it down 55 all the way to the city and back to Naperville where he was staying. That is fucking
and he
man
would
of
stop.
Steel.
He would stop and like take pictures with people
he's
that
fucking
like
awesome.
Recognize them.
I love Russell Crowe. He's fucking awesome. I don't dislike him in any movie. I love him in everything.
Yeah, he can do no wrong.
What don't you like in Russell Crowe's career?
You know what I thought was the most overrated performance?
Gladiator?
No. The Insider? But what was that?
I love The Insider.
Oh, no.
With Pacino
so,
and him.
He was
and,
so unbelievable.
Oh.
He just
I loved him in State of Play. I loved him in Proof of Life. Yeah.
Proof of Life.
LA
oh,
LA Confidential.
Oh, LA Confidential.
Proof of Play, State of Living.
Yeah. Cinderella Man was very good.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that looks like he can have a smugness to his acting that's very Nicolas Cage-ian or Bruce Willisian.
Yeah, sure. So is Kevin Costner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, like this thing of I'm in the Hollywood elite, that shows in some of the acting.
I don't think he's like
when you
that
become
at
famous.
I don't
you don't
think
so?
Nope. I don't think so at all.
Oh, you are just gaga
really
for Russell Crowe.
I just don't get that vibe from him
He's
at
good.
All. I don't get an ego vibe from
it
him.
It is bad.
Nope.
His band's not that great, though.
30 grunts of...
Yeah. They play...
Hello.
Dayton.
Hello.
It's Matthew Aaron. What's going on, brother?
Nothing. I'm sitting here in beautiful California.
In beautiful California. Someone's got to get Bruce headphones so he can hear. Oh, yeah. Bruce got to talk. Bruce Fretch from TV Guides with me. And we're here on the phone with Dayton Callie, Sons of Anarchy. He plays Sheriff Unser. Well, formerly Sheriff Unser. Dayton, we met at David Rodriguez's party of, what was it, like 2 months ago?
Oh, yeah.
Right. And I had to tell Dayton that you can see him in A Motel Life, which is on video on demand now. Dayton didn't even know it was released.
That's right. I didn't fucking know. Oh, is there a delay on this?
No,
you
can
say whatever you want.
Yeah, you can swear, brother. I
just might slip out.
I'm just a little mad because we had to have Kim Coates on before you. Why, you know.
I know.
I got Kim
what's
Coates
that?
On. Yeah, what's
you
with tell
that?
Me what's with that? I think Pat Tobias.
You know, I mean, who makes up your list? Your this fucking important 1-5 list that you.
That,
somebody.
That's Pat Tobias. Let's blame Pat. Yeah, let's blame Pat. So Dayton, let's talk about Sons of Anarchy to kick it off with this last season. The same stuff we talked about with Kim. Do you watch the show? Because Kim doesn't watch Sons of Anarchy. He says because he films it and he's there and he just doesn't really have time to watch it.
That's
do you watch
bullshit.
It?
I watch it all the time. I watch it every, you know, every episode. I mean, Kim don't watch it because he sucks. That's why he don't watch it. You know what I mean? If I was him, I wouldn't watch the fucking thing either. But, no, I watch it. I watch it every week, you know. But well, I actually like watching it because I don't remember what we did and what's going on. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, kind of new to me. You know, I know some shit, you know. But
so
it's fun to see what the other guys are doing.
No, was it new to you, though, when the season finale, are you privy to that last scene, or is this something you find out watching the show?
No, I mean, we get the last episode. There was rumors going around a little bit beforehand. I think those guys knew, the people that got bumped off this year, they knew pretty early on. And
yeah,
then it's hard to keep fucking, you can't keep a fucking secret in show business. So it's, you know, shit gets out.
Well, you kept a secret because you, when we were talking, I told you what a fan I am of the show. He's like, oh yeah, you got to watch next week. And that happened to be when Ron Perlman got it.
Oh yeah.
And Dayton's like, hey, you got to watch it. I can't tell you anything about it. And I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, can't say anything. But he's like, it's really good.
Yeah. No, well, you know, I mean, most people, they don't want to be told anyway. You know what I mean? It's like, that's a pretty easy secret to keep because when they watch the show, they don't want to know what's coming. I mean, I find that a lot, you know. What's going to happen? They go, what's going to happen? Then as soon as you open your mouth and say anything, they go, don't tell me.
Yeah.
You know. Now, here's a question I have for you about your character, Wayne Unser. Okay, when the season starts, and there's this kind of thing that happens every season on Sons of Anarchy, we'll say from episodes like 4 to 10, where I call it like
I get the shit beat out of me.
Well, yes, you get the shit beat out of you every year. But there's like a limbo from like 4 to 10 where the characters are all in like these mini storylines before they all come together the last three episodes. Are you privy to what your character is going to do throughout the season, or do you just know up to where you're in production?
Not a fucking clue. I turn the fucking page and see if I'm dead or alive. And then if I see it, somebody else is dead, I go, oh, thank God, not me. Good for him. So
yeah, you've survived with cancer for like 5 years. You're doing good, 6 years.
No, okay. Come on. Now, see, this is the misconception people have. The show has only been, it's like 2 years old from day one when we started. There's only like 3 days in between these seasons. You know, sometimes it's 2 weeks. If you go back and look, it's like a couple of weeks in between the seasons. Sometimes it's only like a couple of days. The longest I think we had was 9 months when the guys went to jail.
Right.
But
right.
Basically,
okay.
From
so
start to finish, it's only been like 2 years. And I said, what the fuck? You want to die that quick?
Yeah. No,
you know?
I mean, we expect it. Yeah.
yeah.
So let me ask
you,
though.
Can I tell you on a serious note, Kurt and I, we did talk about this. You know, my father died of cancer, but he lived like 6-7 years. You know, and it's like more people live with cancer than die with it. So it's like we didn't want to, you know, I guess I was a little persuasive. I said we don't want to give, you know, we want to give the people with cancer a little hope that watch the fucking show. You know,
You still have one more season left, and working with Kurt Suter, don't get too positive about giving people hope yet. How is it working with Kurt? Because Bruce and Kurt, I don't know if you know this story, but Bruce Fretz wrote a, why don't you tell this story about you and Kurt?
Oh, I've had my run-ins with Kurt on Twitter, because I write about the show from week to week, and you know, sometimes I'm up and sometimes I'm down, and particularly one thing that I kind of knocked the show for was the Stephen King cameo. I thought it was a little gimmicky, a little stunty for, you know, a serious dark show. It kind of pulled me out of the reality that all of a sudden Stephen King shows up for a scene. And so I took a shot at it, and Kurt, you know, went after me on Twitter and, you know, said I was a hack, and we got into it.
I believe the exact word was he called you a cunt.
Well, he did, yes. And we later made up. That's, you know, that's Kurt. You know, that's his personality, and I understand that. I don't hold it against him, and I don't think he holds it against me, but what's it like to work with somebody like that on a daily basis, you know, as your boss?
Well, okay, let me go back. Most of the people that come on our show that, like, are like Stephen King, are huge fans and want to be on the show. He
right.
doesn't. We don't. They don't chase people.
Right.
You know, it's a popular show with a lot of actors or celebrities, whatever. You know, and they kind of want to do little cameos on it and things like that. So, you know, I mean, how do you say no to Stephen King if he wants to fucking be on the show? And he doesn't even have words. He's got one line. So
right.
it's like, I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm not in that position, so I don't know.
I
you
think
know,
they-
but. I do
it
understand what you're saying.
Seriously.
Well, you know, so I, but as far as I, Kurt and I don't talk. So we really, I mean, I basically, I don't know if in 6 years you could fit our dialogue on two pages, maybe.
Really?
You
wow.
know? Yeah. Well, yeah, he just writes it and I say it. We don't. We get along great. you know, once in a while, you know, he fucking rags me. You know, they'll come up with some shit to break my balls. You know, fucking Uncle Touchy and all this shit because that came out in a that came out in a DVR commentary. We were screwing around, and you know, that's one thing you can't do. It's like working with Milch. You know, you can't put a little seed in their fucking head because it'll come back. 7 years later, two episodes later, when you least expect it.
Yeah.
Why are you Uncle Touchy?
Something will come up.
Why are you Uncle Touchy?
Who knows? Because we were breaking balls. They were breaking balls, and we were doing a commentary. I think it was on season 5 or something. And somebody said something, and I said, yeah, touching the kid over there, you know. And they go, oh, Uncle Touchy. There's fucking Uncle Touchy doing it. You know? Why are you touching those kids? I mean, that's a serious.
Don't worry.
You know,
no one's shocked about pedophile jokes going on the set of Sons of Anarchy.
No, so it was like they constantly thing. I mean, and one time I actually do confront Gemma. I said, you know, it makes me sound like a fucking pedophile, don't you? She goes, yeah, I know. That's why I like it. Yeah, so it was like a fun thing. So.
You brought up Stephen King. Well, Bruce brought up Stephen King, but I thought this was really interesting. Chuck Zito sues the show, and then he's on the show.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, begging to get on the show. Do you know anything about what happened with that process? How does Chuck Zito end up on the show after wanting to sue it, or actually sue it?
Well, I think – I don't know the fine details, but I think Chuck had a motorcycle show that he was pitching at the same time. There was a show called 1% that HBO was going to do. And I think Zito had something to do with that. And I guess he accused Sutter and John, fuck's his name, the other producer at the time. They accused them of stealing their idea or something, you know.
Yeah.
And they had words back and forth, bitch, fork, and whore, you know, all that shit. And, you know, it's fucking Hollywood, dude. Fucking everybody makes up in this fucking town. You know, I don't want to see you again until I need you. That's just like.
That's right.
Know.
This interview is actually just like an episode of Deadwood, so this is good. This is good.
Yeah, I want to ask about Milch. So did you talk to Milch more than you talked to Sutter when you did Deadwood and John from
yeah.
Cincinnati?
Yes, but. You tried not to. David's the kind of guy. I mean, I'm friends with David, so I know him a long time, and I could read him, you know, and I learned to read him. It's like, you know, you're walking in, you bump into him as you're going to set, and you could see by his snarl or whatever the fuck he had on his face that day. And if you said good morning, David, and he was in the wrong movie, go, the fuck's so good about it. This is like a fucking good morning to you. What's a good fucking morning to you? This is good?
Sounds
you call
like
this is good?
Yeah.
Oh, so you couldn't say, how you doing? How am I doing? How the fuck do you think I'm doing? You had to really be cautious. And you didn't want a response when you said, hey, that's all I had to do. So, hey, okay, leave it at that. Hey, you know.
So there were always happy times on the Deadwood set. It was always good times.
Oh, well, no, it was always great having him around because, you know, he could tell you off in such a sweet great way that, you know, if you ask the question, you better, you know you want the answer because he'll, believe me, he will go into a 5-10 minute speech on why you're a fucking moron, you know, but make it sound flowery and pretty, you know, and you go, wow, thank you.
That's
great.
I want to see David Milch do that to Dayton, and I also want to see David Milch do that to Ian McShane. I want to see how that would. I want to just see how that would go down.
Believe me, it happened. You know, it happened many times. But it was a good show. It's like this one. You know, there were good shows to be on because, you know, everybody just wanted to, you know, do a good job and you know, respected each other. So it was fun. We had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with McShane. You become very close friends.
How's it to do all these shows though, where you're wondering if you're going to be dead the next week?
that could be a rough spot, you know.
Yeah, you try not to think about it.
You know, I mean, did you see John from Cincinnati?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Can you explain that show to
me? That's another.
You
want an explanation? No, I used to tell my friends because they used to ask that question. I'm not trying to try. I'm like, just smoke a joint and watch it. Don't try to figure it out. Because it's hysterical if you just sit there and smoke a doobie and fucking watch it. Do not try to figure it out because these people are just crazy and they're fun. So that was a fun show to be on, you know.
Oh, it's a great cast. It's too bad. Cincinnati. That's a great cast. Yeah, I bet it's fun to be on that show.
Dayton, let me ask you, are there any major differences working for HBO as working for FX that stand out to you, or is it all just basically the same?
FX pays more. You know, it's basically the same. You know, I mean, especially with John Landgraf and the people at the top, they give basically Kurt, I think, you know, free reign. You know, as long as the show's doing well, you all get free reign, you know.
Yeah.
But, it's pretty the same. Just a little bit of language is different. You got to clean it up a little bit for FX, you know. But, on Deadwood, you know, all those swear words were written.
Right.
You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No.
It's tightly scripted.
You weren't allowed to swear unless it was written. A lot of people think, you just swear whenever you want. No, you could not swear. Every swear word was written. You never ad-libbed the swear word. We didn't ad-lib anything, not even if and or but.
I can't imagine on a David Milch show there's any ad-libbing going on.
No, someone said, David said to Ian, listen, you're supposed to call him a cocksucker, not a cunt.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Right. That's very true. You know, that would happen all the time. You don't swear. You use the word that's written and where it's written.
Is there any ad-libbing on Sons of Anarchy at all?
No. It's pretty much... I know I don't. I know a lot of guys try to, and it gets cut. You know, so they don't do it.
There's a lot of ball busting and fucking around on the show, and so I was wondering if any of that's ad-libbed at all.
Maybe no room for it some shows.
Nah, not really. I mean, you got to be careful with ad-libs. Otherwise, it takes the whole scene into a different direction, you know.
Sure.
You know, I mean, if you don't know how to ad-lib, and which most actors don't know how to add it, you know, and keep it still in the scene, you know. Otherwise, if you say something, it's going to require me to fucking answer you, you know. So if you say something that I got to go, we can go on a three-page monologue the other way, you know, instead of staying into the scene. So ad-libbing is touchy. You know?
Well, I thought...
I remember one of the guys said, that, you know, I shouldn't tell you, fucking.
Oh, come on now.
All right. Yeah, well, you know, one of the guys says to me, I come out and I'm talking about Gemma, right? And everybody knows I'm talking about Gemma because I mentioned her name in the very beginning. And then, you know, I say more thing and, you know, the scene is over. So in the middle of it, one of the guys says, you talk, I know, I already said Gemma. You're what? You talk about Gemma? So who the fuck do you think I'm talking about? You know what I mean? You know, well, I just want to be sure. I said, you know what? Why don't you, because, you know, he kept doing this thing. I said, why don't you fucking make believe you're smart? All right? Go home. When we get to the, when you get to the fucking clubhouse, ask fucking Clay who I was talking about. All right? Don't do it here. So, you know, there's shit like that that happens, and you got to keep, you know, you got to keep the scene where it is.
Well, most of your storylines, most of your storylines involve you and Katie Sagal.
Yeah.
But this year, and I told you this when I saw you, this year I think what's great is you and Jimmy Smith have some great scenes together. And how, like, for instance, that car ride with Jimmy Smith, which is why I asked the ad-lib question, you got each other's chops. But that's all tightly written. How's working with Jimmy Smith, though, and how happy are you that they're able to keep him around and he's not like Donald Logue or others who've taken on other shows and they've had to write off?
Oh, well, you know, Jimmy's good people. I know Jimmy from back at NYPD Blue.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know a lot of the, we had a lot of mutual friends. So it was kind of like we knew each other off the bat. And so just working with him is great. You know, I'm always glad to work with him, you know. I told Kurt one time, you know, we came to a reading, a read through, and I, you know, the table read. And I told Kurt, I just, well, thank you for letting me finally work with a fucking professional. After all these years, he's terrific. You know, he's a good guy too. You know,
have you
really
and Katie
good.
Have you and Katie become close because you guys spend so much time together working?
Yeah, but you know, not like, you know, I don't call her up and say, hey, how you doing? You know, and shit like that. No, I mean. But we, you know, we work together. We know each other,
yeah.
You know, and working together really well. So,
well, I
you
was
know,
asking
it's just the chemistry that worked.
No, I was asking because you said you could put all the dialogue you and Kurt have had on two pages, and it's his wife. So I'm wondering if you spend more time talking to Katie, or it just seems like you guys just kind of are professionals. You show up, you do your job, and then that's that.
Yeah, we do. I know, but I yeah. Well, Katie and I talk a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Katie and I we do. In between, like in the set, in between, you know, setups and shit like that, we talk a lot.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Coates was telling me how close that him and Theo have become, Theo Rossi and some others on the show, because they spend so much time together.
Yeah. Well, you know, they got. Never mind. Well, you know. Yeah. Did he tell you they were? Did they wear? Never mind.
I have no right, idea.
Really, just you know.
So let me ask
were they,
you. Huh? Go ahead.
Naked? Were they naked? Or what? No.
I had a feeling that's where
I
it was going.
Yeah.
Kim wouldn't tell me, but I wouldn't doubt it. They were in Vegas together recently, and, you know, what happens there stays there. But
right.
Let me ask you about how much do you know is going to happen in the seventh season, or you know nothing at all?
I know nothing at all. I don't think any of us know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Kurt quite – I mean, I'm sure there's going to be more deaths. That's for sure.
Yeah, sure.
Well,
you know, I mean, Kurt is – said he might, you know, if he can't fit it into, and he's been open about this. If John, I guess if he said if he can't quite end it in 13, if he needs an episode 14 or 15, that FX was going to give him an okay. So, I don't know where it's going to go. I really don't. He'll tell Charlie probably, you know, and everybody else will just, maybe they'll, you know, he talks to us once in a while in the beginning of the stuff, but
yeah.
he doesn't talk to me much because he doesn't quite know where I'm going to go yet. You know, I mean, he's always said that I'm just kind of like a drifter and, you know, they find where answer is needed, you know, as they start writing. So,
well,
I definitely know where it's going to probably start off, you know, I mean, where it left off, it's only going to be like a couple of days after that.
Yeah, because I'm just curious, because do you even care, because you know it's the last season of the show? Do you care what happened at this point? Because, I mean, usually most actors are worried about getting killed off, because obviously that stops the paycheck in the mail every other week. So do you care because you know it's the last season? If they killed you off the first episode and it worked for the story, would you mind?
Yeah, I'd probably mind.
sure. All right.
You know, I mean, I think that would, only because I'm enjoying working on the show. So, I mean,
think for me, watching the show, and watching the last episode, if I'm Kurt, I think there's a really interesting possibility in the fact that you're Gemma's best friend and Gemma killed his wife. And he may not like you so much just out of association. Now, that's me. I'm feeling like Kurt could go down that alley, because I think it's predictable to kill you off due to cancer. And I don't see most people living this year. I see Juice finally getting it. I see a bunch of people finally getting it. So I would suggest that could be the road that goes down for you. But you don't know anything about that, huh?
No, not a thing. I'm not so sure. I mean, first of all, as it left off, I don't know Katie did anything.
No, not yet.
Yeah.
No, I mean, so I don't know, you know, whether I find out in episode one or episode five, you know what I mean? Or I'm not even sure how I'm going to find out. I think I was befriending Tara too before all this went down, and I did, you know, then when she was going to frame Gemma, that's when I got upset with her and said I can't be a part of that, you know. But
Gemma
some people think I, you know, oh, I shouldn't have said anything to Gemma because that got Tara killed. I had no fucking idea where Gemma was going, you know. I had no idea that she was going to take my car. You know, I thought she was having a heart attack. And somebody says, well, why'd you go get the pills? Well, what the fuck? If your friend is having a heart attack, you go get the fucking pill.
Yeah.
You know, you don't think, let me take my keys in case you have a heart attack in my car.
That's why I'm fascinated to see what road this goes down, because you were kind of implicit just by being a part of that storyline. So I think that could be very interesting for you in the next season of the show. Why don't you talk about the other projects you got going on? Do you got any films coming out or anything?
I'm looking at doing this horror movie that I really want to do. I think it'll be a hoot, you know. We shot the trailer, and it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I like to do different things, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I don't want to keep doing the same things over and over and over. It's just, you know. So this will be very different. I can't say a lot about it right now. You know, I wish I could, but. You know, I just did an SVU out in New York because, you know, I like going to New York.
They really get every son's character guy to come on.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. It's crazy.
So is that going to be on this year, your SVU episode?
But yeah, it was on last week, I think.
Oh, it was on last week. Who else was on it?
I played a crooked judge.
Yeah, with a judge.
Right? Oh, okay. Yeah. You played a judge. Okay, that's a good role. Yeah, that's what.
Yeah,
that's a good role for you. I can see that.
Except he was a fucking pedophile or something. So they figured they pulled Uncle Touchy off the fucking sun.
Yeah, this Uncle Touchy thing,
you know,
getting around.
Oh boy.
Put him in a robe. Yeah.
How was it spending a week on a set with a show ran by Warren Light? What's the difference between working with like a Warren Light and a Kurt Suter?
With who?
With Kurt Suter and Warren Light. Warren Light, who runs SVU. Or is he not around?
I never saw the guy.
No?
You can't remember half these people. There's so many of them.
Dayton just shows up. They point to him where he needs to be.
Give him
his
line.
He does his lines. They say, see you later.
See, I'm going to the beach.
Exactly.
Dayton, are
I
you
do my
a
own hair
too? Are you a yeah, I know you do your own hair. Are you a musician too?
Well, an ex-musician. I was a musician for like 15 years back in the 70s and, you know, early 80s and shit.
What instrument did you play?
Saxophone.
Wow!
Okay, an instrument.
Yeah, I did a lot of touring and shit like that, and it was always out of work. I had a jazz group that never fucking got paid. It was shit like that. It was terrible. Yeah, but I had a lot of fun. You know,
Did you play the tenor, the bari, the alto?
The tenor. He wasn't Kenny G.
I played tenor and soprano.
Oh, tenor and soprano.
Wow.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, actually, I played baritone. I played all the instruments, but as I needed money, I'd sell them. So the only two I kept.
I was an eight-year saxophone player. That's what I asked.
You played saxophone?
You what?
I played sax for 8 years. I was in a jazz band. I did tenor. I was a big fan of the B flats instead of the E's. So that's kind of stuck there.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I had a. You know, this is back when Chicago was, you know, and Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and all those. So they had horn bands, you know.
Yeah.
So I had to play the flute. I had to play the flute a little bit, but I hated the flute. You know.
Did you get into
the
clarinet?
Every once in a while.
Yeah.
No clarinet. No. No.
No.
No.
No. I did the bass clarinet. For
some woodwinds, Mikey. Not he just wanted to.
Really.
So were you guys doing originals, or were you covering like Chicago and stuff?
No, we, you know, the cover. I played my own shit, but in, you know, jazz groups. But like I said, we worked for $4 or $5 a night. You know, it was no. If you didn't have a hit record and you're a jazz musician, you can't make a living.
No.
But the other, you know, we played top 40, whatever was hip. You know, was on the radio. That's what I played nightclubs back then.
Yeah.
You know,
there
was a lot more nightclubs to play at.
Do you
I
ever
just started
play?
Picking it up again now.
Yeah,
I just started picking it up about 6 months ago. You know, I play it off and on, but I just started playing again. I really want to play again, you know, if I can get my chops together. You know,
who are some of your favorite bands that you covered? And who are some of your least favorite bands? I'm curious about that.
I just went out and saw the Average White Band 2 days ago.
Really?
And they were fun. Yeah, they had fun. They were touring, you know, I guess. A lot of them are, you know, there's only two of them that are originals. But they were great. We used to do all their shit. We'd cover their bands. I'd do Earth, Wind, and Fire. I was in a black group for 2 years, and I was in a Puerto Rican fucking band for a fucking year and a half. Did all, you know, Tito Puente and fucking Gato Barbieri. I didn't know. The truth is, I was a year and a half I was in that band. I didn't understand a fucking word they said. Because they only spoke Spanish. I swear to God, they only spoke Spanish.
They don't have any Italian jazz bands, I guess, no?
No.
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 Chuck Mangione.
They only, really, I mean, music is music, so it didn't matter, you know. But and I had, you know, a couple of friends that, you know, they spoke English. But the clubs we used to play at, they just, when we were on stage, they only spoke, they sang all the songs in Spanish. You know, so I never knew what the hell we were saying until they would look at me and go, Heche, and that meant I was solo. And so, but it was a gas, man. You know, I had a good time playing.
You were born in Scotland?
No, I don't know where that shit comes from.
Is that bullshit?
I have no fucking clue where shit comes from like this, you know.
Yeah, neither do I.
No,
that's why I'm asking you, because you don't seem Scottish at all.
No.
Not at all. Yeah, I went to do some looping, and I showed up, and it was a loop group. Oh, I was doing things for SVU, right? I had to go add one line. So I go in there, and this loop group is there, and this guy says, you know, hello, how are you? I says, hi, they were fans of the show and shit. I says, oh, how are you? And blah, blah, blah. And he goes, you know, where are you from? I says, I was from Newark. He goes, oh, I thought you were from Scotland. I was like, my God, he does such a great Jersey accent.
I don't know too many Scottish guys. When you ask them, so did you get to know Katie Siegel on the set? They go, hey, I don't know how it goes.
So you were doing you were doing a lot of TV for a long time. You were one of those like character guys, the guest spots on TV. How do you get by as an actor in L.A. doing guest spots on TV shows? Is there enough money in that, or do you got to, like, find, like, other gigs to get by?
We're going
to
take notes on this.
Well, when I first came out, I was, you know, working. I mean, there was no work in New York. I was a carpenter. I was a painter. I had, like, over 42 different types of jobs, you know. So I was a handyman. I knew how to fucking sling a hammer and shit. So I would, like, you know, I had friends out here that would, I had actors that needed their house painted. So I'd get a paintbrush and paint the house, you know, in between jobs. And, you know, a lot of people don't notice, but I was homeless for a good over a year.
Really?
And I lived in an abandoned house, apartment building for a year and a half. And, you know, it wasn't always easy. You know, I had to keep other homeless people from coming into my fucking apartment. But I picked up a mattress of the junk, and, you know, somebody was throwing away a mattress, picked up a mattress and a couch. And a friend of mine had this abandoned building that he was trying to sell. This was back before the real estate crash, and when it crashed in the late 80s.
Late 80s, yeah.
So I had nothing. I had no money or anything. So I, you know, he says, well, all I can offer you is this apartment in this abandoned building. So that's where I went for a while, you know.
Is that a scary situation for you, being in an apartment in an abandoned building? Are you, like, worried at all about security? Like, what are you going through at that time?
Well, I didn't have anything to steal. So,
yeah, right.
You know, that was pretty easy. You know, it was just a matter of somebody coming in, knocking on the door. Not even that they wanted to rob you, but they were looking for a place to sleep, too. So you had to, you know, tell them to go find another apartment. You know, but, nah, you know, I've been homeless a couple times. As a jazz musician, too, you know, I used to live in people's cellars and shit, you know, back east. So, you know, getting by when I had a job was easy. You know, it's like, wow, I got $500, man. I can make this last a long time. You know, you eat a lot of macaroni, you know, you eat a lot of spaghetti.
Stop
really, because, you know, you buy it for 50 cents a box, you can make two meals out of it.
That's right.
So,
That's right.
You know, I mean, but then, you know, then it all gradually just started to get better, you know.
Yeah.
It got better, so.
But that,
you know,
that means,
I've been,
that means because.
I'm sorry?
That, no, what I'm saying is because of the situation that you were in. You found it, so when you did come into money and you were coming into a lot of work, that you were able to control that money really well because you remembered what it was like to be homeless.
I don't even know I have money now.
Oh, you don't even know if you have money now?
No, I mean, I basically, you know, I'm not like a clothes hound. I'm not like, you know, I don't have my car's old. It's like I just don't need things.
You,
you
just
know,
make
so,
sure you eat as much as you can at all those Hollywood parties. Stay full.
Yeah, that's all I, you know.
Take something to go.
Oh, the party we went to was a blast. Dayton was dancing with all these Puerto Rican women. And, I mean,
right.
You were getting your groove on. You were doing all right. And food was outstanding. Who'd you know at that party? David Rodriguez?
Yeah, Dave. I know Dave and Paul, Ben Victor.
Yeah, they're both awesome.
Because
I love Paul Benvenuto.
We did John from Cincinnati together. That's how I became friends with Paul.
Yeah, Paul's great.
And then we just, excuse me, we remained friends. He's a good guy. And so is Dave. They're terrific.
Yeah, they're both great. Yeah. You know what my favorite credit of yours is, I think, though, is how you ended up in Tu Wong Fu.
That's, I don't either. I don't know. I have no idea. I swear to God.
I just love in the middle of your resume, there's Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar with Dayton Kelly.
Right.
Yeah.
You got it. I got to tell you something about that. It was a longer scene. It was a longer scene in that movie, but it rained like hell that day. It was thunderstorms, and we were out in Brooklyn. We were in Brooklyn, I think. And they had to put this 50 by 50 tarp over the car because it was a convertible. And we shot it underneath the tarp. the whole scene. They were supposed to drive around, and we were supposed to take a ride in the car. And we couldn't do any of that because it was raining.
Wow.
So if you look at the thing, the fucking background is all cloudy and shit. And we're shooting this whole scene underneath this gigantic tarp. It was quite an experience. And
that's kind of funny.
People were blowing a horn.
They wouldn't even reschedule shooting that.
No. Because actually it was they had the corner lot of this used car dealer, and they bought up the lot for the day. So it's like, it's a little hard to, the trailers moved in, everything was there, and all of a sudden we get these summer thunderstorms, and this one lasted a long time, off and on. So they decided to put a tarp up. We figured out how to shoot it underneath the tarp, and that's it. And put the bright lights on like it was sunny out. And there you go. Little movie trivia for you, huh?
Hollywood magic.
Dayton, what was like...
But everybody was great.
What was your favorite role from TV when you were doing guest spots? Did you have like a memorable experience with any of those shows, whether it was NYPD Blue or CSI or any of those?
Wow. I honestly pretty much enjoyed the whole ride,
Yeah.
They're all fun. There's always a little more tension on some. Now I have a lot more fun than I used to have, because when you're trying to make it, it's just different kind of pressure. Guest stars have a lot of pressure on them. The regulars don't have a lot of pressure,
right?
Because they can screw up and everybody goes, oh well, if the guy's been delivering, they go, oh well, he'll get it, But a guest star comes on. And a lot of, I feel bad because they don't have time to deal with the guest stars because they got to baby these fucking regulars, the directors and the producers. So they want the guest stars to knock it out right away. Hmm. I'll never forget, Diane English was on a show called Murphy Brown I did.
Yeah.
And Diane English was the producer, executive and stuff. It's her show. And I came in and auditioned for a role. And I did it, and they laughed. They were hysterical. And after I stopped, she said, I was going to say thank you. She said, excuse me. She said, could you do it again and do it exactly the same way? I went, okay. And I did it. I did it exactly the same way. She, they laughed, and thank you, and I left. And I wondered about that, and I got the job. Hmm. But what happens is, and she would, they want to make sure you can give them that performance again. It wasn't just lucky.
Right.
Especially in comedy. Does he know how to tell a joke? Can he make it funny twice? Because you got to do it 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times sometimes.
That's fascinating. Yeah. I've never thought about that. That's really fascinating.
Yeah. It was a shock to me because, I see it sometimes with guest stars come on, they'll do one good take, and then all of a sudden the next take is off, and this is off, and that's, they have a hard time getting back to it,
You've done a few comedies. You were on Seinfeld, right? You did a small thing on Seinfeld, right? And then Tony Danza's show.
I'm a funny fucking guy.
you're a funny guy. So was it like
I'm telling you.
Was
I
it like experience?
Comedy, but
I know all you guys want to do comedy. All you Sons of Anarchy guys want to do
comedy.
You think you're really fucking funny.
I'm the only one that can do it. The other guys, they're not funny. Look on their fucking resume. They don't have any comedies on there. I got all top comedies on mine.
That's right. And the Tony Danza show. You have them all.
Wait a minute.
We like Tony. We love Tony.
I love Tony.
Yeah, except he ain't funny.
Right.
Nice guy, but
Do you miss Ron Perlman? Because he's a funny guy. You don't miss him at
no.
all. Fucking ass.
Fuck him.
why would I miss him? Fuck. What would I miss?
So let me just ask you: who did you like working with more? We're gonna go NYPD Blue here. Smits or Caruso? Because I know you worked with Caruso on CSI Miami.
This is an easy setup.
No, I work with Caruso on Hayes, something Hayes.
Michael Hayes.
Michael Hayes, there you go.
Michael Hayes. actually, and I got to say, I came on for one show. This happened to me a lot, and I got to say, I pat myself on the back, to tell you the truth, because a lot of times I was just hired for one fucking show, and they'd like what I did, and they'd bring me back for more.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I did Deadwood. I was only supposed to be there for 2 years. I mean, three episodes, and I was there the whole 3 years. And actually, Unser was the same way. It was two episodes. It's been seven fucking years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they got to like you. They ain't keeping you around. You know, they brought me back from the dead. CSI, they brought me back from the dead. You know? I did. I was there for one episode. Like, I blew my brains out, and they went, oh, that's fun. And they put me in four more, or three more. So back to Michael Hayes, Caruso, actually, I did the one shot with him, and he liked it so much, he said, can we put this guy in the show? And I was right in front of me, and I was like, I didn't know if he was breaking my balls or what, you know, but they kept writing me for the show. They brought me back. So it was good working with Caruso.
I only ever had great experiences with David Caruso.
Right?
Yeah.
I've heard this is like a big
fan. I don't know.
In the ass. I've heard he's actually a great guy. That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
And there was
all
no
was
drama
work
from CSI Miami with
no.
him.
No.
There was
like
none.
Weren't we proponents of that myth that Caruso was not a nice man? Didn't we say?
When I came out to L.A., I was under the impression that Caruso was a pain in the ass. I don't know about not a nice man. I don't.
Well, wait
I don't,
a minute. I did hear he was rough on the crew sometimes.
Oh.
Now, that I heard. So, now, I don't know if it was true. I didn't witness it, you know.
Yeah, it's a thing. I've never heard a bad story about him since. I actually have only heard good stories about him.
Yeah, I think he might have had a bad period, you know, the first year or two.
Well, he really wanted to be a movie star.
He did want to be a movie star.
I mean, I've never really heard an actor say stuff like that. Like, he said, I want to be a movie star.
He was probably too honest.
Yeah.
He probably was too upfront about it.
Probably. And he was good in the movies he was in, too, kind of, except Jade.
Yeah.
But most of the movies he was in, he was actually good.
He was fine in Kiss of Death.
Kiss of Death's a good
movie.
Yeah,
he got off to a rough start with Jade. I was like, I don't know how much it was his fault either, you know.
He's great in Proof of Life with Russell Crowe.
He is great. Excellent.
Yeah, so I mean,
he's Mad Dog and Glory. He was
He's a really good actor. I really hope he starts doing more stuff after CSI Miami. I'm a fan of David Caruso.
I am too.
I like him.
Is that still on? CSI Miami?
Or two ago.
No, but it'll be on forever in reruns. Yep. It's Sunday Anarchy. Do you know how that works? Are you guys going to get syndicated? How does that work?
I haven't a clue. I imagine it's going to get something because it's been 7 years. They'll do something with it. I mean, the DVDs, but I think we're, you know, like Deadwood, they could never show on an airplane, you know?
Right.
We didn't get any fucking money, you know, from Deadwood.
Yeah.
It was like, because of our swearing, you know, it was hard to put it, you know, in certain places, so...
What kind of money?
But I think tons of integration
stuff, though. Like, what kind of money do actors see from DVDs?
You really want me to answer that?
Yeah. I'm curious. You don't have to give me your figure, but give me like an idea
or speculate.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. You know what they do well. You know
they do well. All right. They do well.
I mean, it's like a commercial. I mean, and then plus, things like that work on, believe me, I make the same money as Charlie or Ron or anybody because of the union. You go by the days you work. They pay you, they get the lump sum that they pay for, you know, say pay-per-view or something, and they divide it per actor by how many days you worked. And you get a piece of, you know, of 1%, you get 5%. You know, it depends on how many days you work.
That's
all the same. But you're going to get $5 a day. Now, if you work 10 days, you get $50. If you work 3 days, you get $15. So it's the same amount, but they go by the days they work when they divide up residuals. So we all get the same.
Sunday Anarchy.
Kim Coates didn't tell us this.
No. Between merchandising and
what did he tell you?
The DVDs, I mean, there's got to be nice residuals on that show.
Yeah, I mean they're nice in the beginning, and then everything gets smaller. Then as the show runs longer, your residuals get less and less.
Well, hopefully you guys get syndicated. I got to imagine the show.
I got $2.85. I got a check for $2.85 the other day.
Oh, well, where are we going? Jack in the box. Where are you taking me, Dayton? Where are we going?
Exactly.
Egg rolls, Jack in the box.
Exactly.
What do you do? Do you cash a $2.85 check? Do you really bring that to the bank and cash it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Right answer, Dayton.
Fucking
right answer.
I don't know.
Yes.
What am I going to do? You gonna let the studio keep it?
That's true.
No.
Right.
So, so do you, like, wait for the 285 checks to pile up and then just bring in a pile of them? Or do you go over there with one 285 check to chase? Just kidding.
So does FX have somebody working there and be like, we only have so much payroll. Dayton's cashing his checks.
Never expected him to cash them.
Right.
Really?
Checks. Well done. No.
you pile them up and this and that, and then, you know, you get, like, 30 checks that are worth $16, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I actually had to get a stamp. I know it sounds obnoxious, but I had to get a fucking stamp. Because, like I said, she's just going to stamp this shit, you know. And they actually, the girl, the teller behind the Bank of America, she's the one that told me. She goes, why don't you get a stamp? You're signing all this thing. I said, you know, you're right. It's really funny. You get checks for 71 cents, 23 cents.
Wow.
You know.
Like,
what am I going to do with this shit? It costs more for the stamp and the envelope than the check. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
That's why I let other people copy my handwriting and sign everything for me. people here just recognize that. Well, Dayton, I had a blast talking. Bruce, do you got anything else?
I'm just wondering, do you watch other shows? Is there another show on the air right now that you would like to go to next?
I love these
questions. Sons of Anarchy is wrapping up.
Bargain Unjustified.
That's what I'm thinking.
Wow. Fuck Tim. Pissed me off. Now 5 years, never asked me. He's had everybody else on. He never asked me. No, I like him. He's a good guy. Break his balls. I'll see him twice a year.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, just go wherever the wind blows. See what's up. You know, there are some shows I don't feel like being on. That's for sure.
Really?
I'm not going to say which ones.
You're not going to be on Girls?
You know,
I'm not going to be on Girls?
Not going to be on Good Wife?
No.
Good Wife would be good for him. He could play a judge on Good Wife.
He could play the same character.
You know.
He could play the same judge from SVU.
Uncle Touchy.
Uncle Touchy. Yeah, I don't know. No, I don't know. You know what I mean? By the time I say what I like, it's going to be off the air anyway.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know? I feel you.
You're lucky. You know, this show has had a great run, you know.
Yeah,
you'd be great on
Ray Donovan. Ray Donovan. That's the show.
You could be on Girls, Dayton. They got Colin Quinn. They can put you on.
What the fuck is that, by the way? Bruce loves Colin Quinn. They're
Colin
like besties.
Quinn.
I don't even want to get into
I like him a lot.
I like Colin, too, but what the fuck's he doing on Girls?
Making him money.
Are you guys in Chicago?
Yeah, we're in Chicago.
It's freezing, huh?
Yeah, it's fucking freezing. You know what? It's like, what is it, negative? Today, I think it's actually positive numbers. Yesterday, when we were out, it was negative 20 with wind chill, negative 30.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Right.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I'm guessing you're in today.
I'm sitting outside by my pool, actually.
Nice.
It's kind of nice. Yeah.
Oh, is it nice?
We have a little barbecue tonight, as a matter of fact. I'm gonna think about you while I throw the fucking steak on the grill.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Really?
Thank
really,
you very
much. I'm gonna get naked and cook and barbecue tonight. You know,
be dangerous. I have to be careful.
Yeah,
with that.
Be careful. Those $2.85 steaks tend to flame up quickly.
Yeah.
You know, what do they call it? Flat steak or some shit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
That's
flat iron.
Flat iron. There you go.
Well, lucky you. Yep. By the way, I encourage everyone to see A Motel Life, which you have a few scenes in, and you're great. I think it's one of the most underseen movies of the
year.
Yeah,
we like that movie a lot. We had Stephen Dorff on the show. That is a terrific movie.
Yep. And speak of Blacklist, too, Dayton.
You could do Blacklist.
Yeah, you could do Blacklist.
Yeah.
If Crisis makes it more than six episodes, it sounds like you could do that.
I only caught a couple episodes. I saw it. I don't know. Is it any good?
I don't know. I don't watch it. I'm just being your agent right now, Dayton. I'm not telling you to watch this shit.
I want to see Dayton do comedy next, though.
I do too, but I don't want to see him do like Two Broke Girls.
No, not that.
No,
okay. I said comedy.
Yeah.
Hey-o. No.
Though I'm sure
we'll
Dayton would sign a check from Two Broke Girls.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, it's more than 285.
I'm going to get back into comedy. I am. I'm getting back into comedy.
Well, Kim Coates said he wants to do a movie with me because he wants to do comedy. And so maybe I'll cast you and Kim Coates in a comedy.
First of all, he's you in 30 years. Dayton?
That's
so
right.
So it could be like something like The Kid.
Oh, he could play my dad on the pilot we're doing.
Yeah.
There we go.
He needs a little bit of polish. He needs a little bit more polish before he's made.
A little bit.
Yeah, but we have the same hair going. Our hairstyles are very similar.
I can't date as Charles Bukowski. I think he could pull it off.
You know what, though? I don't feel bad for Dayton because Dayton was one of those guys that probably just lost his hair. Like, he probably had, like, a full head for, like, 50 years. Chuck and I
did. I had a fucking afro, man. I had a full-blown afro.
Yeah, fuck you.
Cool.
You know?
Yeah, fuck you.
Used to stick a comb in it and everything, and it stayed there.
Yeah, but when it went, you didn't try to maintain it. You let it go. You let it, the very un-Hollywood thing. You let it go gracefully. I applaud that.
Yeah.
They
hang out
now
with Paul and Victor. They're in the Bald Club. They hang out. Paul wears
now,
does, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I got to tell you, I had a brother with, you know, it was one of those relationship times and, you know, thing I was thinking about and you know, I was losing my hair, and I kind of somehow brought it up with my brother, right? And my older brother has a beautiful head of hair. You know, my whole family, I'm the only fucking guy. And so my brother looked at me and goes, you know, I never had a woman stay with me because of my hair.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's true.
He was right.
No, that's true. We talked about it all the time. There was
my mother. You know what? My mother was very attractive. She was a very pretty woman, and my father was a fucking mutt. You know, and I thought, you know what? If he can get a fucking pretty girl, I can.
That's right.
I always did pretty well for myself.
Oh, all the girls wanted to dance with Dayton at this party.
I believe it.
I was chopped fucking liver on the side. I was getting high off some pipe.
You were actually chopped liver.
I was chopped liver.
You and Rappaport were.
No, Rappaport wasn't there. I wish he was.
Are you friends with him, Michael?
Well, I've met Rappaport a few times. I would not call us friends, but every time I've met him, we've both been smoke buddies. Dayton, I did not see smoke in the ganj. I didn't see you smoke in the ganj. I saw you with pretty women.
He does it at home.
Watching John from Cincinnati.
There
is a difference because I can't smoke this shit they put out here now. In my days, you know, you could stand up after you smoke. This fucking shit they got today is like, whoa.
I
agree.
I hear you. Yeah, I hear you on that.
I mean,
it knocks the fuck out.
Over the years, I've taken a hit or two, you know, because, you know, it was forced upon me.
Of course.
And it was like, whoa, you know, I can't do that stuff no more. You know? But in my day, I did inhale.
Well, let's have you on again before Suns comes back on. I had a great time talking, man.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed myself. Yes, let us do that. Does,
thanks,
you know.
Thanks, Dayton.
You're the best, brother.
All right, talking to you guys.
Yeah, you too.
Give me a call.
Okay,
we'll
do. All right, anytime. Okay. Thank you, Dayton.
Hey,
all right.
There's just the three of us on the phone, right? There's nobody else listening, was there?
Oh, no, there's people that are listening. We're live.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck, man. I thought it was just us three. There's people out there.
Yeah, there's people out there.
Yeah, people actually listen to this show.
Yeah.
Are we supposed to say hello or some shit?
You can say hello. I don't take phone calls. I don't want to hear from any of these people.
No.
Every time I hear from these people, they're nut jobs.
Are misshapen fans out there?
They're wackos.
Yeah.
They're wackos. Some guy wrote me an email the other day. To give you an idea of our fans and why you don't want to talk to them, Dayton, a guy wrote me an email the other day, and he signed it Dick Sucker. So... I have really classy friends and fans.
Was there a question mark after that, or
he profusely hit on me in very creepy color of the night type ways, and then and then signed off as Dick Sucker.
Tell him about the girl, the stalker.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, stalker girl. Yeah, I got girl stalkers. I got guy stalkers. I got 16-year-old gay kids that stalk me. It's great.
We had the guest on.
Oh, yeah. We have our guests. We've had guests on before where their stalkers have called in, except for Bruce.
Really?
Bruce's stalkers are too lazy. Oh, yeah.
Bruce's stalkers are very mannered.
Yeah, we've had stalkers call in on the show, which is really creepy.
Yeah.
What girl was it?
I forget which chick
was it.
We've
got to talk about the paintings and all that stuff.
Oh, God. Kate Kelton, stalker. That's right.
That was me.
Yeah. No. This is some guy from Montreal.
Okay.
Who was super creepy.
Oh, okay.
So, Dayton, that's why you don't talk to our fans. You see any Matthew Aaron fan shows on the streets, to stay away.
We appreciate them listening, but they scare the shit out of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, fellas, for calling.
All right. Yeah, enjoy your next
season. It's been a pleasure.
Talk soon.
Hey, go out.
I just hung up on him.
Oh, it's kind of like my relative.
I'm going to hang up.
He keeps saying funny shit. I can't let him go. He's really good.
He kept saying goodbye. What am I going to do? I'm going to say goodbye.
He said, don't leave me. I need to talk.
Well, we need to go, Richard. So let's.
I'm high and no one's around.
Up. But what'd you think of the interview? Pass the mic around.
No, we'll go back to the sharing program.
Yeah.
I thought he was great.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm listening to him talk, and I'm listening to his accent, and I'm reading his profile about how he was born in Scotland, and I'm like, something's not right here.
No.
When I met him, I go, he's not Scottish.
I have broken a wee lass.
But he's not even Scottish. If you look at him, there's nothing Scottish
about
him.
He looks like Bukowski.
If he's not an old Italian man, I don't know what he is.
Is he Italian or born in Scotland?
No, he was never born in Scotland, but we never got to where he was born. We probably
He said Newark.
Well, Wikipedia is not always right.
Wikipedia is not always right. That's
a truth.
Are you going over the stalker that's over there?
No. Yes. No.
He was great.
No.
Yes,
no,
maybe.
No,
I gave my shoes. I gave my shoes to a dog that could chew on them. What was that?
I've been warning Bruce about some of these females. I've been warning him.
I don't know how many critics and writers have stalkers, but
I bet you there are a few. I would imagine. No,
you were kind of a stalker of mine.
Oh, come on. Maybe Matt Rouse.
Hold on. If he was a stalker, you wouldn't be here. Nobody likes
that's true. That's true.
And look where that got you, Bruce. Run away.
Exactly.
That's true.
Wait. Yeah,
I do,
he got you in his basement. That's right.
Finally. I've been working for years.
To make it even more psycho, your mother's basement.
Yeah. That's right.
With his four creepy friends.
I fucking love Dayton Callie, though. That was fun. That was fun.
I feel like he would get along with Joe Farino.
I'm the only one that gets that.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to go Richards. Bruce, is there anything you got to talk about?
I got nothing.
All right,
I got
good.
Nothing at all.
We're all good.
This was
fun times.
Yeah, it was great.
This was fun times. All right, are you going to Richards or are you going to Cigars?
I'm doing some standy up? I can't go to Richards.
You're going to stand up? What? Females?
What are we
going to
say?
He has
this relationship.
No, he's
now.
Going
it's
home. He's going home. He's got a
no, he's seeing a broad.
He's got to shampoo the beard.
Yeah, right.
We know he doesn't use shampoo on any part of
his
body.
I use Johnson & Johnson No Tangles on the beard.
Yeah.
Okay.
That beard's getting a little...
Is it getting a little ridiculous? I'm going to shave it for the movie.
Are you?
I've been working out, too.
I'm going to start calling you Ahmad.
Ahmad? I'm a rocker. No, I'm a mocha.
Pat wants me to promote next week's show with a guest whose name I can't pronounce, so I don't think I'm going to promote it. Vivek J. Tiwari. Now, before you're like,
Vivek Tiwari.
Why would I tune in for this? Listen, it did a lot of things. New York Times best-selling novel, The Fifth Beatle, which is documents the life and death of Beatles manager Brian Epstein. I believe that's coming out.
Ooh.
And then also he produced the Broadway musicals American Idiot with Green Day, Mel Brooks The Producers, Mel Brooks Young Frankenstein.
Wow.
So there's a resume there. So tune in. That'll be fascinating.
Did you see the faces Bruce was making
Bruce,
just now?
Broadway and the Beatles. Bruce is bored already.
Yeah. I'm glad I got here for this week and not next week.
I'm there with you, Bruce.
Yeah. You don't like the Beatles?
Yeah, I was just saying you don't like the Beatles? I could live the rest of my life with never hearing another Beatles song again.
I am going to talk about Mel Brooks and Green Day quite a bit.
Yeah. Mel Brooks is interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to hit
Green
both
Day.
Those. Yeah. What was that?
I can't say.
Is that how you jerk off?
Well, you American Idiot?
That was the limpest wrist I ever...
Yeah, right.
That was Nathan Lane jerking
I'm
off.
I'm a righty. I'm not used to doing it with my left hand.
Maybe that's why she doesn't like being on top.
Oh!
By the way, you had no idea I played the saxophone for 8 years, huh?
Who would? Who looks at you and goes,
you never mentioned this to anyone. No one knows you played the saxophone for 8 years.
Yeah, I actually got two tenor saxes.
It's like looking at Anthony and going, accomplished flutist.
Or looking at Anthony and going, champion yoga.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Or looking at Anthony and going, sorry.
Yeah, you can go on with that forever. Or looking at Lee and going, clean.
Yeah, no, I played. I was actually in a jazz band for 2 years.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or looking at Wyrick and going sober.
Yeah, I stopped playing like 2 years after high school.
Just saying. Good.
Yeah,
very good.
Yeah, it's good.
I think I've ripped on everyone by now.
No, saxophone's in the wooden section.
Like looking at Kanata and going bulimic.
Looking at Matt and going 401k.
There you go. Exactly.
There. Goes around, comes around.
No,
let's stop with that. Let's stop with that. You don't know what we go through with him, Bruce. Okay.
Ain't good Anthony's story send on?
No. Although my friend and confidant that works next to me, who's gone on now count 47 Tinder dates.
47
separate ones?
47 separate Tinder.
47 Tinder dates?
I'm in that ballpark, so I'm not surprised. There's a lot of people
and,
in that ballpark.
Wow.
Yeah. He's got quite some interesting
stories. I've
been
on 100 dates in the last 365 days.
You and him could probably share. I mean, he had the one story of this broad he talked to for like a week.
First date.
And she had a picture of herself when she was 22 on the Tinder. So he's like, Mike, he goes, it was like a movie. He goes, I pull up to this Mexican restaurant. I see this beautiful girl in the black dress. She told me she's wearing a black dress. And he goes, it was like the stereotypical scene. I'm walking in. I see this girl. I'm like, this is going to be great. I'm walking in. On a corner of my I just hear this, hey, Tim. And he turns around, and there's fucking Shamu in a black dress.
Oh, no.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
So tricked him into going under a different
I go,
picture?
What did you do? And he goes, well, you know, I sat down and had dinner with her for 2 hours. I go, oh, well, was it any good? Well, halfway through dinner, she asked me if I was coming home with her. When I told her no, she started crying.
Oh, no.
I go, how'd you handle that? He goes, well, I walked her out to her car and I left.
Okay, way to end it on a nice positive note there.
No, I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't an asshole about it.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Why are you going to go home with her?
People don't look like their pictures. I get that.
Yeah, but
she
but,
used a different picture, but, a fake picture.
But here's the point. This happened to Peter. He had that conversation that he had that online, met the girl online. They talked for a while.
I have been lucky with all my online hookups. I've yet to meet someone who is not their photo.
But yeah,
very lucky.
You're meeting really nice guys, though.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Lee. Thank you.
That's funny, Lee. That was funny. So, but no, Peter had the same thing where this girl, like, sent him, like, five pictures. And, like, he tried Skyping with her a couple times, and she would be like, oh, I can't Skype.
Yeah.
So he drives to Iowa to meet this girl, finds out. Her, like, she's 30 years older than the pictures that she was sending him.
Yeah.
No, she was terrible. And then she stalked him, and he, when he left, she showed up at his house in Chicago when he never gave her his address.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, like, knocking on his back sliding glass door at, like, 3 in the morning one night.
Yeah, it's crazy.
30 years older isn't necessarily always a deal breaker.
It is when you look like her.
Yeah, oh, right.
Okay.
Right. And by the way, so Caesar knows before we go, he goes, not bad for a guy that doesn't have time to call me back. Yeah, because I'm on 100 dates. I'm busy.
You just said last week about how good he was at not complaining that you didn't call him back.
Good point.
Yeah.
And there it is. There it is. All right, we're headed to the city. Let's get the fuck out of here.
All right.
All right, good show. See you guys next week. Blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Dayton Cali.
We'll have Anarchy. Next week is our commercial printer.
Bruce Fretz, very, very nice to have you here.
It was great to be here.
Safe
really.
Trip back to New York.
And, Thank you very
we're
much.
Going out right now. We'll have fun. All right, and anything else? You never have anything to promote. Chuck, would you like to promote the DMV? Okay. Have a good day.
All right, I got a question for you, Matt. Mm-hmm. What are the chances that you don't end up with-